Welcome, everyone. You are listening to the sounds of the Peking Opera from Beijing. And this relates to today's very special edition of Over the Hump and Trump. Hello, everyone. Happy Hump Day. My name's Maggie Dawn. You're listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We go from, of course, talking about the most American of American events, the Super Bowl, and some of our favorite snack foods, including, you know, the sliders and the wings and the buffalo chicken dip and all these things. And we're going to take a little bit of a journey then, far, far across the globe to China, everybody, for this special episode of Over the Hump and Trump. You can find this segment every Wednesday at 3:30 right here across the Civic Media Radio Network. This segment is about finding ways that we can connect to one another, learn a little bit, expand our horizons. All of this kind of came from my New Year's intentions. I don't like to do resolutions because I never actually fulfill them. And then I walk around with a bunch of Irish, German, Catholic shame and guilt because I haven't accomplished my resolutions. So I like to do intentions. And my intentions this year were to create more, connect more, move more, play more, and rest more. I think I'm forgetting one. But in the spirit of this, connecting more, one of the things, and one of my favorite ways to do that is through food. I talk about food all the time on this show. And so as part of today's episode, we want to talk about connecting with other cultures and people through food. And the reason that we began the episode with a little bit of those fascinating and ancient sounds from the Peking Opera is because it is the Lunar New Year, everyone. If you weren't aware, the Lunar New Year began, this year on January 29th. And the Lunar New Year goes on for 16 days. It will end on February 12th. So we're right in the thick of it right now. So I wanted to observe the Lunar New Year and share with you a little bit of the Chinese New Year, which is one of the Lunar New Years that is celebrated. Now, I don't want to get this wrong, and I just want to take a very careful pause to give some intentionality. Many, many, many different cultures that use a lunar calendar celebrate the Lunar New Year, not just Chinese New Year or the Chinese Lunar New Year. So I just want to make that clear. But I have been to China. I asked my great producer today, Aaron Sommers, hey, where's a far, far away place that you've been or an exotic place? And he's been to London. We were talking about Stonehenge. Probably the furthest away place that I have ever been is China. And I wanted to share a little bit of that with all of you today here on Civic Media's Radio Network. And I actually got to go to the Peking Opera in Beijing.
Oh, I'm jealous.
It was so cool, Aaron. First of all, there's an incredible amount of facial makeup. It is very highly stylized. It uses all of these traditional instruments. It is intricate and so fascinating. And it usually tells stories of the old Chinese traditional stories. And in fact, if you are not aware, one of the stories that is told about why the Chinese New Year is what it is a legend about a beast called Nian. And to keep this dangerous beast away on the Lunar New Year day, people would use firecrackers and lanterns and red paper decorations. So that's part of why you see all of this when you have the celebration of the Chinese New Year. Now, this has been going on for, some say, 4,000 plus years in China, which is really amazing. And I wanted to share with you and give all of you the opportunity to share some of your favorite Asian food dishes, because I'm going to share some of the amazing things that I got to eat when I was in China that kind of blew my mind. I mean, I had had Chinese food here in the United States, but it's a little different when you are in Beijing and Shanghai. And I wanted to share a few of my experiences with you. Again, all of this about being over the hump and Trump, it being hump day and us all needing to turn away from politics a bit. Even if you are a Trump supporter, we need some relief and we need to connect. So I wanted to tell you a couple of very specific stories about my time in China. I was very lucky enough to go there for my job when I was still an attorney in private practice. And it took me to both Beijing and Shanghai and Hong Kong. So it was really three of the largest cities in Asia, in the east part of Asia. And here was two of my most memorable moments. And then I'm going to tell you a little bit about the food. I, of course, wanted to see the Great Wall of China when I was there. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. Now, I was there, I began my time there during the Lunar New Year, so it was cool. I got to see the tail end of some of the Chinese New Year celebrations. And I was there, so I think about like the end of March-ish, something like that. It was a few years ago, so I don't exactly remember how many months I was there, but it was freaking cold when I was in Beijing. And so there weren't a lot of tourists around. So when I went to the Great Wall of China, there's, if I'm recalling correctly, there are basically like five levels where you see the like towers sort of as part of the wall as you go up. And then it is these main sections of wall. And so I wanted to get, quote, to the top of the wall, which is, you know, some people use a Stairmaster. I got my workout that day from the Great Freaking Wall of China. But there was almost no one on the wall that day. Very few tourists because it was cold. And I ended up having to peel off layers of clothes as I walked up all of these stairs because you were it's a decent workout. And the stairs are ancient and uneven and worn in places. It was just amazing. And I had these really surreal moments where for the entire length of the wall in front of me, and the entire length of the wall that I could see behind me, I was the only person on the wall. And it was an overcast day with a lot of low-hanging clouds. And it was just absolutely stunning to walk on this feat of human ingenuity. But the most memorable part of that trip to experience the Great Wall, I actually had on my way down. I passed a group of three people, it looked like a mom and a dad and their kid. Chinese folks, perhaps like us, going to Washington, D.C. to visit our nation's capital. Maybe not from Beijing, but they had come to see one of their nation's great artifacts. And as we passed each other, they stopped. I'm a little unusual in China. I'm quite tall. Back then, I had quite blonde hair. And they stopped and basically wanted to say hi and introduce themselves. And the kid especially, who was probably about 12 or 13 years old, was so excited to meet me. He wanted to give me a hug. And we stood there sort of hand gesturing to each other. And we took some photos together. And the dad, after we were done taking these photos with an actual camera, you know, before the selfie cell phone days, so we were actually sticking an arm out and then, you know, trading the camera around so we could all take photos of each other and together. The dad got out a little notebook and he wrote down his email address. He was the only one of the group that could write in a Latin alphabet. And he also wrote his name down in Chinese. And I then wrote my email down to him. And when I got done with my few months in China, I remember coming home. I was working a lot back then, 14 plus hour days, 6 days a week usually. And so I didn't check my personal email until I got back to the United States. And when I did, amongst the hundreds of emails that I had to go through, I found an email in Chinese characters and I opened it up. And this was before Google Translate and all those things. And here were all of these amazing pictures of me and this Chinese family standing together with no one else around on the Great Wall of China. And though so many cultural differences and a complete language barrier, it is still a very visual reminder that we're all just people. We like to do a lot of the same things. And we like to do it often with other people. So it was quite an emotional memory for me because it was so, again, surreal and yet so very human and tangible. The other memory I'll share with you was that, of course, I wanted to see the Imperial City and Tiananmen Square. I had won a geography bee, I think, when I was like in seventh grade. If you are old enough and of perhaps my ilk or a little earlier, a geography bee that included the question about the protests that occurred in the early to mid 80s and that epic photo of a protester placing a flower in the end of a tank standing in Tiananmen Square. So I had gone to Tiananmen Square to check it out. And because I had very little time because of all the work, which was why I was there, I had asked someone to be a tour guide so that they could tell me about these things. So I wasn't trying to read and get myself around and get lost because I had to be really efficient with my time. So my tour guide and I basically got in a taxi and went there to Tiananmen Square. And she was explaining all of this to me. Now, recall again that I am a tall lady and I had on work clothes. So I was even taller because I had heels on and I had this long blonde hair at the time. And that day happened to be a sunshiny day. So I had these big old sunglasses on, which is kind of my jam. And with these big old sunglasses on and my long blonde hair and being super tall and this lady explaining to me what I was looking at in Tiananmen Square and the Imperial City is off to the other side, off of Tiananmen Square. A few Chinese folks came up wanting to take photos with the tall blonde lady because that's a little unusual in Beijing. And within about 10 minutes, there was a crowd of about like 150 Chinese people with me and this tour guide and translator. And we were taking pictures with all of these folks in China. Again, it was this very kind of human moment. We were all having this experience together of me being a foreigner, a strange person in a strange land, a land new to me, but having this very funny exchange. I think a couple of them thought I was a famous person, took my sunglasses off. I'm like, no, I'm just a nobody. I'm just a dumb old lawyer doing some work here. But it was an incredible memory. Folks, if you want to share some of your thoughts on the best Chinese food you've ever eaten in our shared celebration of the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, 855-75-CIVIC, 855-752-4842. Because boy, my friends, did I eat some absolutely mind-blowing food when I was in Beijing. My travels there for work took me again to Beijing, Shanghai, and finally Hong Kong, which I can only describe like this. If New York City was next to a mountain and had tropical weather, like that kind of gives you an idea. And I don't mean all of New York City. I just mean the borough of Manhattan. It kind of gives you an idea of the vibe in Hong Kong. It was an incredible, incredible place. And I want to share with you some of my very, very favorite dishes that I got to eat when I was in China, including one that if I have my way, I will never eat again, but in the spirit of expanding one's horizons, overcoming cultural biases, I have never snubbed my nose at any dish. I will try anything at least once. I'm going to share all of that with each and every one of you in today's edition of Over the Hump and Trump, which we do every Wednesday at 3:30 to give us a little break from all this. We're going to take some of your feedback and calls about your favorite Chinese food dishes, all in the celebration of the Chinese New Year, the Lunar New Year, right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Folks, my name is Maggie Dawn, your favorite lady lawyer, economist, and lover of all things foodie. You can find me here from 2 to 4 every Monday through Friday right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Keep it locked. We'll be back with more of this edition of Over the Hump and Trump after these brief messages.